Wednesday the 10th of March, Kof Dalet Ador, Rabbi Danny Kirsch, Kimcha Tepischa, Flower Power.
Good morning everyone. So it ages me a little bit to speak about Flower Power, but we're going to try and share an insight into Kimcha Tepischa, which perhaps will give an additional appreciation of what we're doing in preparing for Pesach. The Shulchan Aruch begins the first halach of Hilchos Pesach. The Tshalim Hilchos Pesach, Kotin LePesach, Shloshim Yom. So we start learning the halachas of Pesach 30 days before Yom Tov. The Mishnah Berurah discusses whether this halacha is applicable to every single Yom Tov. The Vilna Gaon speaks about it. Or whether specifically to Pesach, because there's so many different intricacies involved in the mitzvahs of Pesach, etc. So this week I was speaking to a Jewish society in Nottingham University, and Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of Jewish students there, and lots of education that needs to be done. So I asked them, okay, 30 days before Pesach, what is the first halacha that we should be dealing with in preparing ourselves for this great Yom Tov? And everybody came out, as I'm sure you all could suggest yourself, with many different mitzvahs and applications of such that we need to prepare ourselves for. What's interesting is, for us Ashkenazim, there's a Haggah, the Ramah adds a little halacha. Says the first Ramah in Hilchos Pesach, Umin ha'glitnas chitim lechalkon la'aniyin l'tzorach Pesach. It's a mitzvah, it's a minhag, to buy chitim in order to distribute it to poor people before Pesach. The first mitzvah the Ramah brings is the obligation of Kimcha de Pesach. The obligation to make sure that everybody has food and flour for Pesach, says the Shulchan Aruch. V'shir hanesina hu, kefitzocha l'chol yimei ha-Pesach. And how much do you need to give to the poor person for Pesach? Something which will sustain them during the entire 8 days of Pesach. A posha to imhu oni godl, and if the oni is taken oni godl, and he's so poor that he giving him the flour is not going to be enough, because he doesn't have an oven. Says the Mishnah Berurah, you've got to give him money to pay for his production costs as well. Of course, nowadays, most of us have access to real matzahs, and we don't have to bake them, so obviously the obligation of Kimcha de Pesach changes from just providing flour to all the necessities for 7 days of Pesach. So that's the first halacha of the Ramah. That's how the Mishnah Berurah explains the obligation on Pesach. What's very interesting is that why specifically Pesach? Why does the Ramah tell us that when it comes to Pesach, there's an obligation, a specific obligation, to collect Kimcha de Pesach? Sukkot is a very expensive time. Importing lulavim and esrogim is an expensive time. If you're as good as a carpenter as I am, you need to rebuild your sukkah every year, and that's expensive as well. But specifically with regards to Pesach, there's an obligation of Kimcha de Pesach. Why is that? So the Avad Ram says, Poshet, because there are really an awful lot of expenses which are relevant to Pesach, and it is a very, very expensive time. Somehow the cost of food seems to go up enormously, and the fineries of providing for a family, having to get rid of everything and start all over again, it is a very expensive time. Also, the obligations of eating matzah are such, and the fineries of eating matzah are such, that the financial aspects of buying matzah is a lot different to just going out to buying a local shop and buying a loaf of bread. However, there are a number of other explanations which I'd like to share with you, which gives us a keen insight to perhaps another additional idea as to why at this time of year specifically there's this additional idea of Kimcha de Pesach, and hence the title of my talk about flower power. So let's try and understand that. First of all, the Mishnah Berurah himself explains that the obligation at the time of the Seder is that everybody should be able to sit and enjoy and relax like kings. Mamish, everybody knows the Mishnayos, everybody knows the Gemara and Pesachim, that even the poorest person should be able to lean and relax and has an obligation to do so involving the Seder. In Cain, if that's so, they need to have the physical wherewithal to be relaxed and be calm with that. The Zalman Tzorotskin has an additional point, which is that even though Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos are somehow connected with Yetzias Mitzrayim, Shavuos is well known, 7 weeks after we received the Torah in the Midbar, Sukkos, the Ananei HaKovod. Nevertheless, if you see the language of Chazal, the language of Pesach is Zman Chayrusenu. There's a particular obligation that this is the time of Acheres. And therefore, since the very essence, says Rav Zalman Sorotskin, the very essence of Pesach is freedom, then the obligation is to give everybody in Klal Yisrael the opportunity to feel that freedom. It's the man chayrusein, and therefore this time of year, there's an obligation to push yourself past the limits to make sure that every single Jew can experience freedom. The way he puts it is, it's observed particularly by the concern for the existence of the poor, those who must be freed from their need. They need to be freed from their poverty, and therefore there's an additional obligation to help them at this time of year. What's interesting is that the Beis Halevi and many others ask a famous question. That when we begin the Seder night, the first thing we do when our guests are all around us is we start speaking to them in Aramaic, and we say, Halach Ma'anya, this is the bread of afflictions that our fathers ate in Mitzrayim, Kol Dichvin Yesi V'Yechon. For anybody who is hungry, let them come and eat. Anybody who is needy, let them come and join in our Pesach Seder. And the question is, it's a very strange way to start the Seder night. There are so many mitzvahs involved in the day. The obligation to tell over Sippur, Vigadat to the Vincha, there's so many obligations in the educational, the mitzvahs which are involved in the day of Matzah, of Morah. But the tradition has become part of Klal Yisrael that we start the Seder in Halach Manya. Why do we start with the Seder Halach Manya? Interesting enough, mentioning as before the Avodram. The Avodram says the original minhag was that people actually go outside, open the front door and say, is anybody hungry? Is anybody here who needs a Seder? Now, I don't know how many of you do this in Golders Green or Hendon when you begin your Seder. So was the tradition. One of my students told me his grandmother living in Bat Yam to this day begins, before she starts the Seder, she goes outside and she goes for a little walk around and she says, Halach Manya, is anybody outside who needs a place to eat? Is there anybody who needs to be looked after for the Seder? The Beis Halevi asked the question, why do we start the Seder particularly with those words? And also, interesting enough, he doesn't mention this, but also the fact that it's not in Lashon HaKodesh. Of course, the minhag began in Klal Yisrael when the language of the time was not Lashon HaKodesh in Bovel, and therefore we wanted to make sure that those people should understand when they're getting an invitation. I see this often with some chassan invitations. Some of my students, their Lashon HaKodesh isn't quite up to what it could be, so we have to give them an English interpretation so they know to turn up at the invitation at the right place. So Halach Manya, we want to invite everybody to come into the Seder, and that's how we begin our Seder, by inviting everybody in. So the Beis Halevi, and I'll try and simplify it, the Beis Halevi shares with us a couple of very interesting insights. First of all, he says as follows, that it's well known that this is a Zaman Chayrusenu, and this is a Zaman which is Mesugal for Geula. And not only are we celebrating with the Halach Ma'anya the fact that this is the bread of affliction that our fathers ate in Mitzrayim, but we're also clearly aware from that that Hashtahoch of the Shana Bob Arad Yisrael. Right now we're here, but we have some future plans. That just like there was a Golas and a Geula, there should also be another Geula in Heir of Yomeinu. Hashtah Avdei the Shana Bob Bnei Chayim. We start the Seder by recognizing and realizing that whilst we're celebrating the past, we also want to celebrate the future as well. And he points out to us an absolute yesod in understanding and appreciating the Geula and Golus, and that is the obligation to do chesed one with another. Yesh lonu lahagdin techila b'mitzvah sedaka she'al yedei zeh nizkeh l'geula. Says the Beis Halevi, the reason we start the Seder by talking about Halach Manya is because that's a mitzvah stoka, the obligation to reach out to our fellow Jew. And he says, She'al yizei zeh nizkeh l'geula. And it's well known, the posuk in Novi, which we say in the Haftarah during the 3 weeks, Siyam b'mishpot tipoda v'shaveh b'stoka. that eventually Klal Yisrael is going to be redeemed with justice, Hayav Yomeinu, and Klal Yisrael will return with Stoka, with Tzedek, with Stoka. And therefore, when we start the celebration of our Geula, we remind ourselves that there's this another Geula that still needs to come. And what's the first thing we need to do? Prepare ourselves by looking after Klal Yisrael. And perhaps with that we can understand why the Ramah starts with the obligation of Maos Chitim. Not only because everybody's got to have food, and everybody's got to have the chayrus and the experience of going out of Mitzrayim and appreciate that, but also because we're looking forward to the future. Why do we start Halach Ma'anya with the obligation that everybody needs to enjoy and participate? Because we're not only celebrating the past, but we're preparing to do what we need to do for the future as well. And it's interesting because following this same idea, the Chofetz Chaim, on the Posuk Nochisa B'chazdecha Amzugo Alta in Parshas B'shalach, where he discusses the Shira and Klal Yisrael coming out of Mitzrayim, brings our attention to a Tana D'Bei Eliyahu. Says the Chofetz Chaim, K'sha'ay Yisrael B'Mitzrayim, when Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, Niskavsu Kulo, they all gathered together, the Ashri Yachad, and they became as one person, Mishum, he goes on to explain it further, but I'll just focus on one idea. Shiyasu gemilas chasodim zeim zeh. When they were in Mitzrayim, we gathered together and we took a responsibility. Perhaps we can understand it. The Yidden saw whatever they're going through, the difficulties they may be encountering, that I want you to know that the end of a hard day's work, when you come back broken, upset from your slave labor, separated from your family, I want you to know that I'm there for you, that I'll look after you and I'll care for you. And perhaps that's the explanation of Nochis B'chazdecha Amzug Alta. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us out of Mitzrayim, it's Nochis B'chazdecha. He took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim in Chesed. Why? Because of the Chesed that we learned and that we showed each other. The Be'er Yosef, the famous Be'er Yosef on Chamushim, Olu B'nei Yisrael, the number of explanation about what the Loshon of Chamushim mean, also in Parshas B'shalach. And there, he brings the Rashis, and he brings the Targum. Chamushim means they were armed. Chamushim means they did good deeds. Chamushim means that only a fifth went out. Chamushim means that actually every person came out with five. And the Be'er Yosef there goes on to explain extraordinary insight, and it's well worth looking at it over there, where he says that Chamushim Olu B'nei Yisrael was that because of during Machas Choshech, during the plague of darkness, four-fifths of Klal Yisrael died, those would only be the youngsters, those would be the oldest, the youngsters would be left as orphans, as parentless. The parents had died during the Machas Choshech. And as a result of that, who was going to be there to look after the little children? It says with Yosef Slant, an extraordinary insight, Chamushim Olu B'nei Yisrael, every parent took out their child and four other children from the people who didn't have, from the children who didn't have parents to look after them. Chamushim Olu B'nei Yisrael, they came out with Ma'asim Tovim, came out Chesed, see the Be'er Yosef, Gevalt Gevort. That means that when we came out of Mitzrayim, we took responsibility for those people who didn't have anybody else to look after them, the orphans and the children. And in that merit, he says, Zochati lo chesed narayach, as the Novi tells us, we usually translate it, I remember the kindness of the youth. He says, Zochati lo chesed narayach, I remember the kindness that you did with the youth. The kindness that you extended yourself to look after those people who had nobody else to look after them. So we have an interesting mahalach now, which is beginning to grow, which is that the Seder represents not only an experience of the past, but we want to, by virtue of connecting with the energy of the day, bring about this in the future. And interesting enough, on the same note, that if you see some of the portion we speak about Halach Ma'anya, and they translate it as follows, the Kol Dichlin Yesev Yecho means that Hashta Hocha the Shana Ba'a Barad Yisrael. And they want to say that the second part of it, which is that Kol Ditzruch Yesav Yisach is Hashta Avde L'Shana Abba B'nei Charem. That they actually marry those two ideas together, that it is a result of looking after other people and extending ourselves that we have the opportunity and hope and prayer to making the world a better place. And it's extraordinary, you know, those involved in education and outreach will know that chesed is the most powerful tool to awakening people about their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just in a small way in our community, if anybody has a baby, provide them for a week with meals. Baruch Hashem has become so normal in our society, and so many people do it, that it's like an accepted thing. But for a person who comes from a very secular background, who are alone in a community, who don't know many people, suddenly to have the knock on the door, we're bringing supper for you, and can I help you with your child? It's an extraordinary limit of the gladness of Klal Yisrael. And just this morning I got a text message from an Israeli couple who, for various reasons we have a connection with, but very, very secular. And they just, we can't get over the kindness of your community. We can't get over the chesed which is being done. And Baruch Hashem, we live in a community where the chesed is quite extraordinary. And the people are extending themselves to other people. And this is the time of year, which 30 days before Pesach, we start learning Hilchos Pesach. What's that? Everybody needs to participate, and everybody needs to enjoy and become part of the Pesach Seder. So we're beginning to understand and appreciate an interesting approach to our preparations for Seder. What's interesting is in the Halacha, there's a well-known concept that when we're davening, that your Soimech Geula V'Tefillah. We daven every morning, Ezra's Havaseinu, we talk about the fact that at the end of Goal Yisrael, and then all of a sudden we start the Shemona Esrei. It's fascinating, if you read the words in Ezra's Havaseinu, it should start making you think a little bit about exactly what we're saying. In fact, the whole flow from Shema to Shemona Esrei is about the Gula, and particularly in Ezra's Havaseinu, it's about the Gula, the redemption from Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim Ga'altanu, Hashem Lekenim Beis Avodim Pedisonu, Kol Vachrem Haragta, etc., etc. But what's fascinating is that just before we have the Minog Tehillah, the Kel Elyon, to take our three steps back, the words are fascinating. We describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Ugmagbir Shfolim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is somebody who lifts up those who are low. Motzi Asirim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the people out of their imprisonment. Upaydan Novim, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu redeems those who are poor. Va'oizer Dalim, and the way Rav Shimon Schwab translates it is, a Kodesh Baruch Hu helps the helpless. That is the end of our description of going out of Mitzrayim, and then we come on to Mikamocha Belo, Be'ilim Hashem. So the Mephoshim asks the question, what are the messages, what is the limit from these words at the end of Ezra Savasena? Rav Shimon Schwab explains beautifully from his Rebbe that part of the concept when a person is going to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shemona Esrei is that they have to have the humility and the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to provide absolutely everything. And that humility and that realization that he looks after me and that I'm really a nothing and I know everything for him gives me the humility to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when I say Magbir Shfolim, I recognize my own lowly state, my own humble state. Motzi Asirim, I recognize and realize the only person who can get me out of the imprisonment that I find myself in life is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, etc., etc. However, if we take the thing that we've been speaking about, it's very interesting to notice that the last description as we prepare for our Geula, as we Soimech Geula L'Tfila, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Motzi Asirim, who Magbir Shfolim. And of course, we have a famous rule, which is that Hu Racham, Afata Racham, that our obligation is that we have to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Magbir Shfolim. Nebuch, there are people out there who are broken. They're low. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done it for Klal Yisrael, then Klal Yisrael have to do it for each other. To look out and share the gifts the Almighty has bestowed you with. Motzi Asirim, they're people in psychological and emotional imprisonment. And that arm around the shoulder, and the sense that just like when Klal Yisrael came back from a hard day's work in Mitzrayim, there were people there to support them. The emotional warmth and support, which everybody needs, everybody has to give as well. And he comes into shul and gets a shalom aleichem. He's not looking so happy today. Looks a little bit down. The warmth and the friendship. And interestingly enough, when you learn Hilchos Tzedakah, you'll see that even though you're unable to financially give the person everything you need to give them, but you'll give them warmth, you'll give them love, you'll give them time, you'll give them a phone call. I'm just phoning to see how are you. Interesting enough, the Chofetz Chaim, when he's discussing certain organizations which should be set up in communities, he actually uses this language. Every community should have an Oizeh Dalim society. Everybody should have such a thing. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rachum, we have to be Rachum. Just like we davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Gula, he asks us to consider what we need to do to bring about the Gula. Interestingly enough, the Chofetz Chaim in Sefer Avos Chesed looks at this word dal and opens our eyes to many different meanings that perhaps we weren't aware of in appreciating what this Lashon dal is. Oizeh dalim. There are so many different expressions, sadly, of poverty, and each one of them has their own language. Oni, Evyon. Says the Chofetz Chaim in Perek Shvi in Avos Chesed, in Chelek Gimel. He has a whole section in this Perek Shvi on a pasuk in Tehillim, Ashrei Maskil Eldol, B'yomro Yimaltehu Hashem. Says the Chofetz Chaim, the pasuk tells us, Ashrei Maskil Eldol. Happy is the person who's Maskil Eldol. You would think that happy is the person who helps the poor person. Why, asked the Chofetz Chaim, does David HaMelech in Tehillim have to use Lashon Maskil? What's the kesher between Seichel and looking after a poor person? And the Chofetz Chaim goes on to explain as follows. There are many different aspects of poverty that exist in the world. And he lists for us, for example, there's Dal Mamon, there's people in Nebuch, they don't have any money, they're very poor. Motzeh Shechos Lo Mikol Advarim, Eikorim, Sheshach La'odam. The people of Pasha, they just don't have. And our job is to ensure that they're looked after. Achila, Beged, Bias. And especially when it comes up to a Yontif, the obligation is to ensure that everybody has the basic necessities so they can have Simchas Yontif. How much more so, I'm adding, should we give them the opportunity to have the appreciation of Zaman Chayrusein. And he goes on and he explains different aspects of Dal. Ba'od Motzinish, Shame Dal, Amishahu Dal Bekach. The other person, people Nebuch, don't have the strength, they don't have the power. They'd love to do cleaning for Pesach, but they can't do it. So I'm going to knock on my neighbor's door, and I said, look, I finished my house, can I help you? I'll get the word around that we'll get together a few groups, which Baruch Hashem exists, to ensure that everybody's looked after and they're cared for. Nebuch, they're weak, they don't have it. So where does the seichel come into play? And why is it ashrei? Why is the happiness is maskil el dal? Because the Chofetz Chaim says, you've got to use your seichel. Dal is that he's got something lacking, and I have the opportunity to fill his void. There's something which I can give in my humble way, which will fill the space of his life. And you have to understand and appreciate that whilst we're talking today about poverty, it goes much further than that as well. There's some Kanai Nahara, very comfortable people, are very wealthy, but there are lots of things which are missing in their lives, and we have an obligation to take it further. V'yesh ol dal echad, says the Chofetz Chaim, there are other dalim, v'hu oni badas, v'hu dal yesim akol. People who nebuch, they just don't know, they just don't understand, they just don't appreciate. Ein oni ela b'deah. And then he goes on to explain all these different levels of what it means, she'ein oni b'das. The poshut don't know. And my obligation is to inspire them and teach them and make them aware of them. And if I know Aleph Beis, I'll share my Aleph Beis with somebody else. And then he goes on, v'yesh oni b'das k'pshut tishu oni b'tara v'tzorech lehaskil u'lisboinin eich lehamshik libo b'tara. My thoughts and my obligation have to be, what can I do to extend the gifts that I've been given and wake him up to his appreciation of who he's part of? And in my own words, just like in Klal Yisrael, in Mitzrayim, we all took responsibility for each other. And Chamushim Olu B'nai Yisrael, there were people who never didn't have anybody else as their own parents, and we took responsibility for them as well. We have to think about those Yidden who never aren't going to be at a Seder because there's nobody to invite them, and they don't understand and appreciate what a Seder is all about. So we start the Seder by saying, come in, anybody who's hungry, become part of Kalal Yisrael. We begin the Seder in order to ensure that everybody's physically hungry can have food to eat. But we also understand and appreciate that there's far beyond the physical hunger, there's a spiritual hunger which we need to look out for as well. Learn Chelik Gimel, Perek Zayin, the Chofetz Chaim, extraordinary obligations of looking after poor people. And it's interesting that the Binyan Beis HaMikdash is connected to the concepts of the poor and the rich working together. You know, in this week's Sedra, interesting enough, in Perek Lamed Vov, Posuk Lamed Dalet, which Lamed Dalet backwards is dull, but anyway. Well, the Horas Nosam Belibo in Parshas Vayakel. So we learned that there's a partnership. Valdiga partnership in the building of the Mishkan. Vayomer Moshe b'nei Yisrael, Ru Kro Hashem b'shem Betzalel ben Uri ben Chula Mati Yehuda. Mamish, she took Betzalel, who came from the best shepherd of all, came from Mati Yehuda. So Meyuchus, Mamish, they're coming out with Malchus. Ah, Betzalel, Gevaldik, comes from Shepherd Yehuda. And then the Torah goes on to describe to us a little bit about who this Betzalel was. V'yumala Yisrael Ruch Elokim B'chochma B'tfuna B'das. And then, in Pasuk Lamed Daled, we find out that there was a partner that he had, and his name was V'Oliyov Ben Achisomach Lamatedon. Says Rashi, let me tell you a little bit about this other partner that he had. His partner was Meshevet Don. From the lowest of the Shvatim, says Rashi. From the lowest. Mibnei HaShivchus, nothing special, no Yichus, nobody really understood. But that was his partner. And somehow this person, Oliyov, is included, he's equal to Betzalel in the coming to the building of the Mishkan. As it says in Eov, and we won't show off, we won't show more recognition to the wealthy person than we will show importance to the poor person. Extraordinary idea. That when it comes to the Mishkan, there's a shutfus between Betzalel from Shevet Yehuda and Eolov from Shevet Dan. The rich, the wealthy, the successful, the miyuchlistic, joined together with those who perhaps other people would despise. And together the skills build the Mishkan. It's well known the second base of Mikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. We didn't look after each other. And the Mishkan is built because we've created a partnership between those who are lofty and those who are dull as well. So we begin at these 30 days before Pesach learning some halachas. And most of us are correctly involving ourselves at this time of year in learning all the halachas Pesach to make sure that we understand and appreciate that by the time it comes to Pesach, we're well prepared. But we don't want to have Pesach and Golders Green anymore. And I'm not talking about going on holiday to a hotel. We don't have Golders Green. It's been nice, it's been pleasant, we're grateful, Davishta, but we want to finish this now. We want to go to Binyan Beis Hamikdash from here of Yomeinu. And it's Hashem, whose chus of the chesed will do, will achieve just that.